Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland, emanating from 23rd and Vine on East Carson Street, which is a great wine bar. And we want to thank Bob, Lou, and Ray. We'll talk more about them a little later. This is episode 6, guys. Hard to believe. And I want to thank KDK Radio and our corporate company, which is Audacy, A-U-D-A-C-Y, adding us to the platform of podcast nationally. So we hope to be international soon enough, but Jim, how many podcasts do you do?
260, Larry, and we've gone 6 so far. We haven't gotten yanked from the air. We haven't offended anyone yet.
We're working on
protest yet.
But it's coming. It's going to happen.
That's the goal.
We're 6 in. It seems like we've been here a long time.
It's so fun. Yeah.
We have a long way to go to catch up with Jim.
Hey. It's all right. We got a lot of wine. This is a great place. We got wine here. We can do 4 shows a day here.
I was looking behind us, though, and all the wine bottles are empty.
That was me.
Well, we introduced you.
I get here early in the morning and drink.
To the Haunted Housewives of Pittsburgh, and discovered in our conversations, and Sheila, you were there, so a little later we're going to talk to somebody. This goes above haunted, right?
Above haunted.
This is crazy. This is demonic.
Demonic possession.
Yes.
His name is Larry.
Yes.
You sure?
His demons. I knew the exorcist. My buddy.
So you'll introduce us to your friend Bob?
Yes, I will. I promise.
Okay. In meantime, we thought it would be fun because if you're not on social media, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast, number one. But you're only half person from everybody in Pittsburgh. And Saul is somebody that Jimmy and I, and Sheila, I'm sure you've come across. You've been
I'm
in marketing
so
for so long. How many years have you been doing what you're doing in Pittsburgh?
Dog years or regular years?
Dog years,
about 108.
I can't do the math.
Me neither. It's horrible. I went to, yeah. So, no, actually, almost 25 years in business.
And so you promoted big shows.
Everything.
And you've done whatever.
Cirque du Soleil and Van Gogh now.
You introduced me to the Grand Chapiteau when the first Cirque du Soleil came to the parking lot at Three Rivers.
Something?
What are you talking about, Larry?
Cirque du Soleil.
It's incredible, though, because everyone there at Cirque has these great French-Canadian names, and I can't speak French. And the only French I know is like Mario Lemieux or Gilbert Perrault. That's all I have.
Gosh.
I have nothing, right? So we've been in the middle of some really big things. It's been great. And you guys have been very supportive. And this Krenn guy here, do I have a story for you? We'll talk about that later. He almost got me fired once, but it's a whole other story.
Jim Krenn almost got you
almost
fired.
Got me fired by
a long lot of people
time
fired.
Ago, yeah. So we'll talk about
this. I'm excited about your son here. I watch TikTok. Now, a lot of people like me get lost in TikTok. I could watch it for, I'm just going to watch a couple of videos, right? You're there for like an hour, two hours.
You're there for like a couple of hours.
Right?
You can't keep scrolling.
Once you're on TikTok, you just can't stop.
It's really addictive and it's fun. Mindless stuff. And there's all kind of strange, different shit. That's what the creativity's
So we should explain that Saul is our connection to his son, Brandon.
Brandon
and
Max.
Brandon became, Brandon Max.
Yeah.
You don't use your real name.
No. I'm Brandon Max. That's my legal name.
Is that your baptismal name?
We don't use last name because, unfortunately, social media gets a little crazy.
There's been people kind of looking around.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
So what transpired was,
yes,
Saul says, hey, my son has kind of taken off on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, well, that's nice. He probably has a couple dozen followers. And then I look, and Brandon has nearly 3 million people watching him on TikTok.
It's crazy.
It's
2.5 million at this very moment.
In marketing, that's nearly 3 million.
We're rounding up to 3 million.
So let's back up. How old are you, Brandon?
I'm 20 years old.
And when did you start posting videos on TikTok?
So I started TikTok back in March of 2019. So it's been a little over 2 years.
Why did you want to do it? Yeah.
Yeah. And how many people did you think would actually follow you?
I thought, like, I wasn't even expecting 1,000, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I was expecting 1,000 the very, very most. But it just, you know, at first. So really, I'll start off by saying, like, how I first, like, started. So all of my peers, were on the app. And, like, I felt shy about being on social media. Like, you know, I love social media my whole life, but. Mm-hmm. Or ever since I was younger,
right.
And basically, so one of my friends was like, Brandon, you should get on TikTok. You should create an account. I could just see you doing some really fun content because, you know, I've always been described as like a fun, outgoing person. So basically, they convinced me. They were like, okay. I ended up convincing myself. I was like, okay, I'm going to download TikTok. I'm going to create an account. I'm just going to start posting stuff.
What kind of material?
I was doing a little bit of everything. So I was doing a little bit of, like, some comedy skits, some, like, I did, like, a couple dance videos, which were awful, which were, like, so embarrassing.
What was the video that put you into the
stratosphere? So 6 months later, after I started in March, so you're looking September of 2019, I did a video with my dad. This grilled cheese video that blew up, that became like instantly our signature video.
The grilled cheese.
The grilled cheese video.
We were escaping. This has been interesting. We were down in Florida at the time. We were escaping a hurricane because my people do not like hurricanes. Just want to tell you that.
Yeah, they do not like hurricanes.
We tried to hire someone to stop the hurricane. It didn't work. We tried. You know, we hire people for everything. You know, but we couldn't hire them. So we ran off to D.C. for a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And so it was late at night, and good old Brandon Max here said, I'm getting really hungry. And I said, let's just go find something to eat. We ended up in this really horrible little restaurant. And I looked at the menu. We were looking at it. I said, I'm not going to eat that. There's no way. I said, they can't F up a grilled cheese sandwich. It's impossible.
They can't. It's impossible.
Piece of cheese and bread.
Unless it's a piece of rotten cheese. Yeah, it's a whole different story. We won't get into that.
So I said, we ordered a grilled cheese sandwich and fries.
Yeah.
We sat down, and he was trying to find his way on TikTok. And I looked at him, I said, why don't we just sing about grilled cheese? Let's just do something.
Yeah, let's just sing
about grilled cheese. And so that what happened after that, Brandon?
So basically, we posted that video. It was a Monday night. So Monday nights are like my slowest night.
And the grilled cheese wasn't even that great. But go ahead, move on.
Yeah, it wasn't that good. We'll get into that. It was a grilled cheese sandwich.
Come on, people.
But bottom line, so I posted the video at like 10:30 at night. Didn't do anything. It only got 200 views, which is still a decent amount at that period of time.
Sure.
Within 2 days later, it went from 200 views to 500,000.
Okay.
Blew up.
Wow.
Then a week later, it hit 2 million views, and now currently it's close to 3 million at this very day.
Can you reenact it for us?
Oh,
the
sure.
The song, the grilled cheese.
Let's do it. Yes.
Yeah, then, wait.
Yeah,
let's set it up.
Let's set it up.
Brandon Max.
You know, yeah,
yeah, I know the whole script.
And his dad.
And his dad, yeah. Saul. Obviously, right, Brandon took all his singing talent from his mother.
Go ahead.
We'll rescript it.
I have it.
Okay. Do you know what my dad and I have in common?
What's that, Brand Max?
No.
Okay, I have to rewrite this. Come on, take two.
Do you know what my dad and I have in common?
We both love
grilled cheese. That's not how it goes.
Grilled cheese.
That's not how the video goes, okay? It's I sing the song, and then you sing the song.
Oh.
Okay, we're going to do this one more time.
So you're the lead.
Yeah. I wrote the script. It was him who, like...
Okay, go ahead.
Let's do it.
He's Paul, you're John.
Go ahead, I can take it.
Let's do this one more time.
I did the logo.
Dad, get it right this time, will you?
All right, then we'll reenact our
Paul Stanley
most viral video.
Simmons, go ahead.
So that one was not the most viral video?
No, it was our second most viral video that we're known for.
The most viral video we did was a cheese pizza video.
Which was a send this video. Let's do that one real quick.
And that one hit 13.2 million.
And there's a big pizza behind you.
Oh, yeah, big
pizza behind us.
All right, go ahead. Give us a little.
Let's do the grilled cheese video one more time, and then we'll do the cheese pizza.
I'm ready. Go.
Okay. Do you know what my dad and I have in common?
We both like
grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese. That's it.
And you got 13 million people.
No, it's 2.6.
2.6 million.
All right, we're going to do
2.6 million.
No, but let me tell you about that one. So suddenly, after that happened, he would walk through malls, and this is a fun, we can move on to that.
Yeah.
He would walk through, like, places, like, everywhere.
And they recognize him.
He would say, grilled cheese, dude.
Really? Grilled cheese.
Yeah, are you serious?
Everywhere. It did.
You know what?
But how many people watch this? 3 million? This particular video?
Nearly 10 million.
2.8
million watch that video. Could you imagine there's bands out there writing songs and putting, this is my masterpiece, and they can't get near what you're
grilled cheese song. I'm waiting for Ohio State University to actually do the band thing. Grilled cheese. You know, the whole...
Like, why is it like Jimmy and I or someone covering the song? This could be
Harry Styles was just in town last week.
I went crazy for
did
him.
Did you open up for him?
I did not. I'm a big fan of Harry Styles.
I told Brandon that it's one person in their basement watching it 2.5 million times. It's that same guy going, funny.
He loves grilled
still
cheese.
Funny.
Well,
still
listen
funny.
To this. So Jim and I and Sheila, we have a long collective career on radio and television, you know, more traditional ways. And then... How many years ago, Jim and I went to Italy with the late, great wrestler Bruno Sammartino.
Three and a half years ago.
Donnie Iris with us.
Please.
So Jim posted these little videos, more traditional, on Facebook.
So funny.
TikTok didn't exist then. And we had about 100,000 views on one of those from Italy. He did a travel log.
We did four. We got 550,000 views in the
that's
four.
That's incredible.
So it's the first time.
See the power of the social
media.
It's the first time in my career being on TV and radio where strangers recognized me from a video they saw on Facebook.
That's incredible.
But it was you, the two of you, and Donnie Iris, and you still got 500,000 views.
Yes.
Here, Brandon.
Millions.
It's killing
us. 2.5 million.
And it's like, you know, it's crazy because I've done close to 2,000 videos. I've counted, and it tells me, like, on my end of TikTok. And, like, over the summer, and this is this past summer, when I was doing, I mean, I've always been doing really well, and I'm really grateful, you know, for my supporters. And it's been an incredible experience so far, and I'm beyond grateful, you know, for everyone who supported me. And even the people who don't support me, I still support them.
Right.
That's the kind of person I am. But, basically, I'd average during, you know, quarantine. That's when my page skyrocketed.
Okay.
That's when I jumped from, that was like a few months after the grilled cheese video. I went from, after the grilled cheese video, I hit 100,000 followers from 5,000 followers instantly. And then hit, basically, June of 2020 was a huge month for me because I graduated from high school virtually. And 2 days later, I hit 1 million followers on TikTok. And then 3 weeks later... I got verified on TikTok.
What does that mean?
When you get verified, does this translate into financial gain at all?
Well,
you're in some numbers.
Yeah, it's definitely like I personally don't handle that side. I leave it up to
my
dad.
There is financial gain.
There is.
Oh, he didn't
stuff.
Tell you how much money you made.
What, you think I'm going to tell him?
Yeah, we're not going to tell you how much money
you were supposed to pay him.
What?
It's gonna be, oh yeah.
Well, I did.
I see Britney Spears thing down here.
Big lawsuit. It's like this. I'm going to say that like my mom. You have a roof over your head.
Yes, exactly.
So what do you want to do with all this?
What I want to do? So you know, I definitely, you know, I've gotten the biggest sponsor that I've gotten so far is I did a deal with Dunkin'. Okay. I promoted their grilled cheese melts, which are, let me tell
makes
you,
sense.
And
right.
You think I'm saying this because Duncan wants me to say this, but I'm personally saying this from
grilled
my
cheese
perspective.
Well, Duncan kind of wants you to say it.
No, it's really good.
It's a killer cheese.
It is killer grilled cheese. It is like literally if you are ever at Dunkin', I'm serious. And you have kids, you gotta do it.
Next time you come on a show, if you could bring a couple, I wouldn't mind trying.
Oh, yeah. I would love to.
It.
That would be awesome.
Well, the one thing he didn't talk, and I'll go back to the whole financial part of it.
Yeah.
All right. He's been doing this whole thing actually just for fun.
I've been doing it for fun.
You know, Mom and I are like, hey, come on, people. And so, we really haven't done it. I know how well he can probably do on this thing, but we've been really, really picky about who he's part of.
Well, Dunkin's a pretty credible brand.
You know, it's a nice one, but still. Yeah. There's people out there who are interested, but that really he kind of loves doing this thing just because it's fun.
But you want to keep doing it? I mean, what do you want to do next?
I just want to keep making content. Mm-hmm. And I definitely want to, I love doing this. Like, it's definitely become part, of my hobby. And I also work before I started TikTok, I actually worked at a hotel. And that's really because I've always been into hospitality management, et cetera, which I'm currently working right now.
At this point, though, you want to be – I've been a professional entertainer my whole life, stand-up, radio, whatever.
I want to get into that.
Is that what you
want
to be, a professional entertainer?
That's definitely one of my dream jobs for sure, because, hotel management and this are two completely different things.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
I love being
That's
on
like
camera.
A job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really enjoy doing what I'm doing. I know TikTok's not going to be there forever. So that's why I'm thinking in the back of my mind, how can I continue doing this moving forward?
You're right. I haven't had a real job ever.
Don't say that.
No, as an entertainer, though.
It's still a job.
Sort of, yeah. One thing he hasn't talked about, too,
definitely.
I think it's really important, too, is he's had a lot of health issues. And that's one thing that I'd like to bring up, too.
Yeah, please bring that up.
Through the years, he's had a condition called PANDAS, which is a pediatric autoimmune disorder, mm-hmm. which I'd like to put a little awareness out there about that, too.
Okay, sure. Sure. What is it called again,
it's
Saul?
It's called PANDAS, like the bear. It's pediatric autoneurological disorder associated with strep. That's where kids like him, it's a disorder. One in 200 kids have it. And unfortunately, what it is, it's an inflammation of the brain. So it's like when most kids get strep throat, unfortunately, they take antibiotics within 2 weeks later, they're done. A lot of kids that have PANDAS, they have hidden strep. And so the kids will start flaring out, and they start having, and the reason it's happening is because their brain is inflamed. If they don't swab for you don't ask your doctor to look for it, they're not going to find it. So they end up at Western Saga, they end up at different places. We're fortunate that Bonnie, my wife, actually early on with friends of ours who are doctors, figured out what it was.
Mm.
And so that was the reason why he was cyber school for 4 years in high school. He couldn't get sick. And so that's the part of the story which I think is the most exciting for him.
But God works in mysterious ways.
It's unbelievable.
Cyber school. He knows more about computers and social media than anyone.
I want to explain the backside of the story because we didn't get to that
yet. It's important.
I feel it's really important, that you guys hear, and I really would love to share this with you. So basically, I was born and raised in Pittsburgh. I'm proud. I'm proud Yinzer. Mm-hmm. I was born at Shadyside Hospital. I shouldn't have given that out. I was.
We got some Yinzer t-shirts for it.
I'm still paying the bill.
I grew up in Fox Chapel. So that,
rough neighborhood.
Oh,
it's not a rough neighborhood. It's not a rough neighborhood.
It's a rough one.
Were you in a gang?
No, I was not. All right, just checking.
That's not what we heard.
That's not what we heard.
Okay. So I grew up in Fox Chapel. I attended St. Edmund's Academy in kindergarten, or no, preschool in kindergarten, and then went to, Kerr Elementary, attended that first through fifth, and did Dorseyville. And then I did the high school virtually because of my autoimmune, part of the autoimmune that I had called PANDAS, which my dad just talked about a little bit. It affected my I would catch every illness going around school. So it got to the point where, the symptoms weren't really, really bad until early middle school, sixth and seventh grade, where I would go to school and if someone had a stomach virus or even the smallest cold, I'd catch the worst of it. So I was really I was mainly at home. I was mainly doing school at home because I was so sick. I was just not feeling too good.
Right.
So basically that caused a lot of, it caused separation between me and my peers because I, unfortunately, from halfway through seventh grade through senior year, I had to permanently become virtual schooled.
And there was a lot of bullying involved because he was different.
And there was bullying involved in school. Sixth grade was definitely a really rough year for me because I got severely bullied and a lot of awful stuff happened, a lot of trauma that I still, think about. And, I've worked with therapists in the past to get rid of, as much as I could, to get rid of all that trauma that happened with the bullying and all that. So, but bottom line, When I left, I don't want to say I left Fox Chapel, because the cyber program that I did was actually through Fox Chapel. So technically I graduated through, it's called Fox Chapel Area Online. It's an online like virtual program, et cetera. But the bottom line, so my health got so bad that I couldn't be in Pittsburgh during the winter because there was something like the thinness of the air. Like it was just, so we ended up getting a place down in Florida outside of Orlando.
Okay.
And I just, you know, this was when I was really, really sick, and I was down there for like, I ended up being there off and on for a few years from like 2018 through like last, through right before COVID.
You must have been, COVID must have been, rough. It's been very rough.
COVID, really,
did
you, really,
you didn't get it? Did you?
COVID was really,
especially in
rough.
Florida, because yeah, be they scary. Don't really believe.
They don't care.
Really,
yeah.
Right?
So the TikTok experience must have been a godsend for
that
you.
That started in Florida. That started. Some of my most successful videos were recorded at my house in Florida that I had. And you know, like right now, I'm finally, my strength is definitely through the roof, and I'm feeling like I'm feeling much stronger and much.
And the cool thing, real quick, the cool thing with his TikToks is suddenly the reason that he came back to Pittsburgh, now he's being recognized everywhere. And mm-hmm. So you're feeling, you know, the idea of what TikTok has done for you to get people.
And here's what TikTok, I mean, I'm just going to, I know we only have so much time left, but bottom line. One of the reasons I was off of social media from the second that I left, left in-person school, public school, to becoming virtual, I had to delete social media because it hurt me so bad when I would see my peers at school with their friends.
Right.
And I was at home. Like, I couldn't really leave my house. I was that sick. So basically, it was a huge deal for me in 2019, because I was finally, that was like 3 months after we moved down to Florida for a little bit, and I was getting acclimated. I was making some other friends that were homeschooled down there, which was super nice.
Mm-hmm.
And they really, you know, I give them all the credit in the world, because they convinced me to download TikTok.
Mm. And look what happened to you.
I downloaded it, and of course, I just didn't know what I was doing. And then little did I know, I was getting all these messages from all my peers at Fox Chapel. Like, look, cool, like that was the coolest. That was the coolest thing when I got all these messages from them. I got connections.
Full round connection. Mm-hmm.
And now they look up to me. And now I've become this big star of Fox Chapel.
Well, you know what the strange thing is?
Isn't that amazing?
All the challenges that you went through.
Yeah,
all the trauma you're talking about. That's what makes a performer. It really does. That's what makes it unique. And like I said, God works in mysterious ways. So that's what makes the performer. And the isolation, as a comedian, or you perform, a lot of it's introspection. Well, most of my time is writing in my condo. My mother thinks I'm a drug dealer.
Look at Jim.
He makes money. You're going to make money. Yeah.
Well,
he never leaves his
before you go. Yeah. Can we do a video with you?
Of course.
So how does this work if we wanted to make
a TikTok video?
TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's figure out, is there any good food around here somewhere?
We have one kazoo.
Is it mostly food related that you do?
Food, but
okay.
All right.
We have a Yinzer bar.
Yinzer, how about
there it is.
Here we go.
Oh, Yinzer bar.
Let's think about the Yinzer bar.
It's
look at
We're talking about chocolate, by the way. We're not talking about alcohol.
Real quick, I got to teach you guys a new word that's in my, I don't know if you guys have ever heard the word bussin.
Bussin?
Bussin.
Bussin.
All right. No, we're
so
old.
So bussin means a food that's really good.
Okay.
So that is.
We got some bussin for you.
So if I were like, that coffee is bussin, then that coffee is really good.
Okay.
Brandon, so take a look at this bar. Yinzer on a shelf, and read the fine print.
Yeah.
I see.
Fries on everything.
Oh, that's so funny.
Fries on everything. A Yinzer cookbook. Let me ask you guys this.
Okay.
Is this chocolate bar bussin?
Oh, it's bussin.
Oh, yeah.
The best.
Yeah. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's bussin.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most, of course, how much would you say?
It's a 12.
11.
You'll love it.
12?
You'll love it.
11.
Okay. Okay. But I'll say, but for you, 13.
No. Yeah. All right, so how do we make the video?
So the videos are all improvised that I do.
Yes.
I do.
So who shoots the videos?
We do it together. We shoot each other. Yeah.
How do you do the video? And then
the phones, right?
All right, let's do one. This is it.
Yeah.
This is big.
3 million people will see this.
Not 3 million.
Oh, darn.
Go with it, Brandon.
Okay, we'll see what happens.
It's your dad's number.
All right.
He's in marketing.
Yeah.
All right. So basically,
we might get negative views.
right now, I have only because everyone's in school right now. So
okay.
Right. So that's why I typically don't post.
Well,
until
they'll check it
okay,
later.
Okay, we're good.
Though.
We can wait.
Yeah.
All right. So really, I just take out my phone and you know, it's we film.
You know,
I
love
other.
More than.
All right, we'll go with you. You do it. How long is it going to be about?
It's 15 seconds.
Okay, 15 seconds. Go. Ready?
Sure,
you ready, Jim?
We'll do a practice run real quick.
All right.
All right, I can't think of anything because we're on a podcast.
Elf on a Shelf. Yeah. We're going to introduce Elf on a Shelf in this Bussin' chocolate bar.
Okay, I need to see the chocolate bar.
Yinzer chocolates.
All right. Here, just hold it up closer to you.
Go ahead.
Just say
don't
this.
Don't cover the elf.
Cartoon.
Like Brandon, actually, we're going to leave it up to him. I want you to start off the video.
Yeah, go ahead.
Jimmy.
Brandon. Do you want a chocolate bar? To say, do you want a chocolate bar?
Do you want a chocolate bar?
No, like really over the top. Okay. Do you want a chocolate bar?
I'm in.
Crazy.
Ready?
Watch,
okay.
Jim.
Three. Okay, I'm just going to put my mic down.
Back up the mic a little.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
Do you want a chocolate bar?
Go right into the camera.
Okay.
All right, three.
Okay, great.
Three. Okay.
No, it's the little
blurry,
things.
You're blurry, Jim.
It's the little things.
Okay.
Ready?
Three. Good. Okay, three, two, one.
Do you want a chocolate bar?
I don't.
That's right. Give me back my chocolate bar.
Give me back my chocolate bar!
Wait.
No!
Okay.
Larry, you're up.
Larry, you're up.
All right, just pull the mic back a little when you're going to yell so we don't blow out Jim.
Jim's passed that.
Okay.
It's part of the video. Sorry. Jim's ears bleeding. We end it. We close with Jim's ears bleeding.
All right.
Do you want me to do the same thing or something else?
This is my chocolate bar. But like
wine.
Like act like you're 5 years old.
There you go.
But this is my chocolate bar. Yeah,
okay. All right,
three,
I'll play along.
Two, one.
But this is my chocolate bar.
That's great. That's awesome.
Okay. No, you should give me back my chocolate bar.
My name is bad.
Okay. I'm just gonna like put this out to here so
okay.
It doesn't.
Yes.
Lighting is bad. Okay. Okay, right. Oh, hold on. One second, I gotta get rid of that.
Give me back my chocolate.
Oh,
I can't have the chocolate.
Okay.
Bar.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Point to the camera. 3, 2, 1.
Give me back my chocolate bar.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. And you're up and go.
Let's see how it turned out so far.
It's great.
Do you want a chocolate bar? Give me back my chocolate bar. This is my chocolate bar. That chocolate bar is
love
mine.
It.
No, that chocolate bar is mine. We have to change up the lines.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
That chocolate bar is mine!
There you go. That's good. And then...
Awesome, man.
All right. And then you're like, hey, this is mine. Be like in a really high voice. Okay. Hold it. Hold it closer to the camera. Perfect. Just like that. Just stay right there. 3, 2, 1.
This is my chocolate bar!
That's good. That's good, Sheila.
I love it.
Okay, we got 2 seconds left. Say...
No, that's great, man.
These people are driving me crazy. That's my last line.
Good.
Who are these people?
Actually, the funny thing is, my last line should be...
These Yinzers are driving me crazy.
You actually took mine, not yours. It should be... You should say, these people are driving me crazy. They go, where's my chocolate bar?
Okay.
That's it.
That's the last line.
Go ahead.
These people...
Go ahead. 3, 2, 1.
These people are driving me crazy!
That's it. Yeah.
All right, that's the video.
All right, let's take a look.
Give me back my chocolate bar. This is my chocolate bar. That chocolate bar is mine.
This is my chocolate bar.
These people are driving me crazy.
That's it.
All right, let's hear it. Brandon Max.
Brandon, that's wonderful.
So Markowitz. TikTok.
Awesome.
Nearly 10 million. We'll see that video.
30 million.
That
Brandon,
that's very good.
Good luck to you. Want to have you on the radio show too. Appreciate you coming out today.
Thank you guys so much for having me. This was awesome.
This was fun. I was fascinating to watch how you constructed that video.
It was brilliant. Actually, comedically,
you do realize it really wasn't that much fun for me.
Yeah. Oh, what's that?
I'm sorry. Saul, you got left out in the dust.
I love seeing you guys. I'll be posting that video a little bit later.
Okay.
We'll come home from school.
Yeah, I'm going to search it. I'll make sure everybody I know sees it. So that'll add another 10, 20 people.
We'll get you some more viewers.
Because
you need more, apparently.
Episode 6, Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland. We will be back with a possessed man next. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland from 23rd and Vine, East Carson Street on the south side of Pittsburgh. And we want to thank Dick Roberts, our producer, and very excited about our next guest. It kind of developed organically in our conversation about haunted Pittsburgh with the Haunted Housewives in part. Sheila, you shared a story, so I'm going to let you introduce our special guest.
Yes, so Bob Cranmer and I go back many, many years ago when I was in TV, yes, and I did his first television interview with you. And we've stayed in touch ever since. And then you had a really strange, demonic thing happen to you. And I remember you got a hold of me, maybe it was 8 or 9 years ago, and you said you had written this book. And I got your book called The Demon of Brownsville Road, and I read it in 2 days' time. And I was like, Bob, I cannot believe this happened to you. Just an incredible story about your haunted home that you had, you just loved this home, you wanted to buy this home, you got in there with your family, and really strange things started happening. And I'm going to jump far ahead. A movie is actually in the works now about this because it's just such an incredible story. But take me back to when you first moved into this house, what you noticed about it, and how it became the Demon of Brownsville Road.
Well, really, it began when we were looking at the house to buy it. We were in touring. I think we went several times to see the house. And imagine this is a large Victorian house with large rooms, 10-foot ceilings. A little kid can actually, you know, roam around and get lost in it. And that's what happened with one of my children. We were there. We had our 4-year-old and our 3-year-old. And we were in the basement with the owners looking at this massive furnace that needed to be replaced. And my wife noticed that our 3-year-old son wasn't with us. And she became a little alarmed, and her and the woman of the house went upstairs to find him. And as they went through to the front of the house, to the foyer, there's a large staircase that goes up to a landing and then up to an area where you could look down into the foyer. Anyway, he was on the landing trembling. And, I mean, that's interesting. And the lady kind of rushed forward and embraced him and said, "Honey, what happened? Did you see something?" My wife heard that and like, "What do you mean? Did you see something?" Here, my son shaking like a leaf, and she wants to know what you saw. So she came away right with the feeling there's something not right here, and she told me about it. And I didn't really get into ghosts or have any interest or any experience at all with anything supernatural. And I said, I love this house. I want this house. We're going to buy this house. And I'll ask the guy about it. So when we went back, and I was surprised when I made my first offer on the house, which was at least $20,000 less than what I was prepared to pay, he took it right away. Okay.
Here is your
take
sign.
Take it off my hands,
where's the
please.
Paper? You know, I was shocked, really. But I said to him, "Jim, is there anything wrong with this house? Just he and I." And I asked because my wife said this, and you would think he would say, "Well, define wrong. You know, the roof, the plumbing, the furnace." He knew right away what I meant. He said, no. In fact, we've had mass in celebrated in the living room twice. My kids had their first communion.
Which typically
there.
Happens in homes.
And I said, I didn't know the Catholic Church like took mass on the road, which they don't. So with that, we later on, after we moved in, a month or so later, these strange things began to occur in the house, and my wife and I came to the conclusion that there's a spirit in the house. Now, at the time, we thought, well, is this reason to leave, to sell the house? Maybe we can peacefully coexist. And so that began what eventually came to much more than a haunting. It was a very, very involved circumstance.
At what point did you see it go that it was demonic?
Well, you know, spirit? Yeah, at the time, you know, you're living through this stuff and things are happening. It began to to deal with our family and my children psychologically. I mean, this is not your run-of-the-mill ghost. And there's lots of haunted houses. And what is a ghost? The ghost is a disembodied spirit of a person who once lived for whatever reason. And there's much debate if a ghost exists. Right. They do. Why they're tied to a place or a circumstance for a period of time. Maybe it's purgatory. I don't know. But there are also, in this world, demonic entities. They're fallen angels. They're not people who once lived. They're supernatural beings. The Bible points and talks about them. And they're here to perpetrate and to cause evil in the world. You know, how they work and how they influence people and how they interact with human beings. You know, you have full-fledged possessions, like in the movie The Exorcist. You have situations where they possess a place, mm-hmm. a building. That's what we dealt
with. So what were the things that were going on in the house?
Well, for the first 10 or so years, it was somewhat benign. I mean, nothing really threatening.
And meanwhile, you were involved in politics this whole time.
Yeah.
The name sounds
not
familiar.
Not most of the time.
But I want to interject at this point so people understand that Bob is somebody who served our country. Thank you for your service. 101st Airborne and served our community mm-hmm. as a commissioner. So this is in the midst of you doing public service at a high level. So I'm sure you don't want to tell people publicly that your home's possessed by a demonic while in the midst of all of that. But that gives your credibility of the story a lot of push.
Fortunately, all hell didn't break loose in the house and with my family until I was out of office. And thank God I didn't run for re-election because things had been coming to a point where it somewhat exploded. And this thing unmasked itself for what it was. It was no longer a curiosity of, you know, things going bump in the night. It was much more than that. But we kind of had come to the point where we understood it. We could live with it. As I said, I didn't realize at the time, like I later would, how it was working on all us very surreptitiously and with evil intent to hurt us. When my wife had a nervous breakdown at, you know, 30 years old and was hospitalized for several weeks, that thing played a part in that. When my kids had to leave school and, you know, go to get Western psych and so on, it was all this. You're living with the devil.
What was the one moment where you said, we got something bad here, we got to get this an exorcist in?
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. Well, when something happened that was life threatening, and I realized this thing wants to hurt us, and this is a dangerous situation, and I need to call somebody.
But how did it manifest itself?
Okay, so in that case,
did you see it?
No. Let me tell you what happened. My son was upstairs in his bedroom after school one day.
Was this the blue bedroom?
In the blue room.
I'm afraid. Hold me.
Teenager, and I think his girlfriend was with him. They were listening to music, or I hope. And
this is the unfiltered part.
Yeah,
this is G-rated, Bob.
And he heard a loud pop in the corner of the bedroom that sounded somewhat like a light bulb beam, like real loud pop. And something whizzed like past his head and hit the wall. And it wasn't like a lamp or something.
And
you're
sure it wasn't the girlfriend?
Yeah.
Hurling something across.
And after it hit, and he looked on the floor, and what had flown across the room and just missed his head or his neck, he picked up a music CD, a plastic music CD, CD, which, if you think of a music CD, they're pretty durable. I mean, right? To take one and crack it in half,
it's got some force there.
You would have to use some force. Or if I took it and threw it against, you know, a concrete wall, it would probably just chip or crack.
Right.
This thing hit the plaster wall with such velocity, it literally shattered into small shards like a plate would if you threw it down, you know, on the concrete. And I mean, pieces that you just held in your hand. There was no shape to it anymore. Once I saw that, and I saw how far this is, you know, inch and a half thick plaster, where it cut through the wallpaper and into the plaster. Had that hit him, it, you know, was like a bullet. Could have killed him.
Right.
So with that event, I realized this is dangerous, and I need help. And thus began the process of seeking help through the Catholic Church.
Did you want to leave?
Well, at the time,
say, hey, you guys go in with the exorcism, I'll be back.
Well, when I had my first conversation with Father Langwin, the representative of the bishop, the scene was kind of akin to the movie The Matrix with the red pill and the blue pill. He said, listen, you have a choice to make. Sell this house, take your family, move away, or if you want to try to deal with this problem, if you want to try to successfully, you know, exercise the house, we can do that. It's not going to be easy, and so I chose to stay.
And we'll hold right there. We want to get to the rest of the story in just a moment. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland. Go to Odyssey, download the free app if you don't have it, or kdkradio.com. Episode 6, Larry Richard Unfiltered. Larry Richard with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland and Bob Cramner, who is our special, special guest. Not only is he well-known in the Pittsburgh area, but he has a story to tell, The Demon of Brownsville Road, that's going to be a feature film. The book, very successful. And Bob, about to tell us, when you discovered that your family was in physical danger, you sought help from the Catholic Church, not unlike The Exorcist, but people, I think when they saw The Exorcist, didn't realize that that actually happened.
There is an exorcist.
Because Jim told me about meeting, a retired exorcist.
No, he retired now, but he was the one that Bob calls a friend of mine, the priest.
Yes.
The exorcist. There was the exorcist.
So you go to the church, they say it's not going to be easy if you want to stay in this house.
Yeah, well, what happened was, again...
Well, first of all, they believed you. I mean, they came into the home and realized what was going on. I mean, they don't just do an exorcism because you call them.
Well, you know, who are you going to call at the time?
Ghostbusters.
I wish I could have, you know, go to the phone book. You know, I was not Catholic at the time, but I knew enough from movies and books and so on. The Catholic Church claims to have a handle on this stuff. And I knew this was beyond your, you know, your average haunted house. This was dangerous. And I was beginning to understand that what had happened with my, what was happening with my family was in some way tied to this whole, the whole feeling in the house. It was just, it was a bad circumstance. So I didn't pick up the phone and just call the diocese. Having been a county commissioner and Tom Murphy, who was mayor of Pittsburgh at the time, close friend, I told him, he knew my children, I confidant, I told him what had happened, what was happening. And he said, I will go see the bishop. So Tom went and met with Bishop Worrell, told him what was happening. I had details, given him some of the details. And he came back and said, you will get a call tonight at 7 o'clock from a priest who's going to talk to you. And that individual was Father Ron Langwin, spokesperson for the diocese. And from that point forward, he told me, it was odd. It was like he already kind of knew about the house. I didn't know if he was working from some existing paperwork or file, but he said to me that we can work with you and help you, and in a year we'll know if we're making progress. Now, I thought the Catholic Church would come with the smoke in the can
elevation.
And, you know, do a couple things.
Some pea soup, and it's over.
Whatever, maybe once, maybe twice, and it's done.
This,
you know, it's like calling Roto-Rooter.
This was like an exterminator.
You know?
This was a demon extermination.
And then they send you the bill.
Yeah, that's right. But he said, in a year, we'll know if we're making progress. Now, I didn't want to hear that. I'm thinking, like, what are you talking about? Yeah. And he was right. In a year, we weren't making progress. I came as close to selling the house, I even thought about maybe just burning the place down. It was so bad. But a year later, we were in the middle of a terrible battle that then continued for another year until it finally came to a conclusion.
And in the process of this, you did some investigating of the house's history, and you found out some really astounding things about what had gone on that property and in that house.
In the house and on the property, and how even, I believe, it affected the community. And without getting into great detail, but what I discovered that was most astounding was that in 1792, after the Revolutionary War, when the new nation was starting to expand and settlers were moving into the Western Territory, which at that point was Ohio, the Native Americans, who rightly owned that land, said, "This is our country. You guys are over near the mountains. Don't come here." And a war started. It was the first war this country was involved with. George Washington was president. And for the first year or two, it was not going well. And Fort Pitt, which was the frontier, Pittsburgh, was reactivated. And the war reached the Ohio River. During that war, I said all this to say that where my house now sits, obviously wasn't there at the time, but there was a settlement there, a cabin, whatever, and the family that lived there, the mother and three of her daughters, were killed by a raiding party and are buried in my front yard. And we felt, the priest as well, that the evil that was associated, which perpetrated that massacre of those innocent children and their mother, attached itself to the land and eventually influenced and inhabited the house and additional evil things that happened in the house.
You still own this house?
Yes.
What?
How do you stay in it, like, at night? Like, I'd be afraid. Like, by myself. I heard one noise when we come out here.
Well, that's right? The story.
And now it's a bed and breakfast.
The story is, stay
in the house.
The story is that good overcomes evil.
True.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this story is complete from beginning to end. The battle was won. God prevailed.
Right.
And, you know, I'm stuck with this big house that has this reputation.
Yeah.
So many 10 years go by. The house is fine. It's peaceful.
Some things that go wrong. Remember when I came to the house? So you gave me a tour of the house, and we sat down to do an interview.
Mm-hmm.
We had all the equipment working. Everything was good. The sound was good. We did the interview. I left. And you called me up the next day and said, you'll never believe this. There was no sound.
Yeah.
That might have been the ghost of Paul Long.
Maybe that's what it was.
In the years afterwards, yeah, we did have some issues with recording. And then you weren't the only one that happened.
That's interesting.
I thought I was the only one. You better check your equipment. I've done entire interviews on radio stations.
Yeah, we probably should check it.
I've done entire hour-long interviews, and they get done. There's nothing on the tape.
So there's.
But we're not in the house, though. We're not in the house. Does it follow you around?
See, this is the thing. I don't think it's so much the house. Mm-hmm. Writing that book was like outing the mob. And evil doesn't want to be unmasked.
Right.
Evil does not want this story to be told. I mean, my life since the book was published hasn't been a bed of roses. And, I mean, some pretty bad things have happened.
And this, by the way, is a compelling book. The Demon of Brownsville Road. You cannot put it down.
I don't think it's the house. I think it's evil. For goodness sakes, Russian television in Moscow did a special on this book. I mean, I've been interviewed all over, in Europe. I've been interviewed nationally. It's gotten a lot of attention. And again, evil doesn't want people to know that it's real. It's much more than people's evil intentions. Evil, the devil, angels, God, it's all true.
Mm-hmm.
It's all true. It's all true.
You think it could be the noises Chiel heard, like maybe it's like spirits? Because I remember Father, the exorcist we know that did it, but he remember him telling me that demons are rare. It's not like a common thing. Like, usually it's a ghost, like you said, a spirit trapped or whatever. It's not usually, it's a real rare thing. So maybe it's an old house. Could be just a spirit there. It's a friendly spirit, like Casper.
I mean, I don't think the ghost is causing what, because these electronic issues that have happened in the house have also happened outside of the house.
So it's following you.
Bad Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I was in Milwaukee one time at a radio station doing an interview like this, and when I was done. We were standing. I had a cup of coffee, just like this, sitting on the table. We were just all of a sudden, it went flying over, went flying onto the floor, all by itself. Woo! Like, right. Onto the floor.
What do you say, Bob? Again, with your credibility and your resume, so people have a tendency to believe you more. But what do you tell naysayers to say, Bob? There's no ghosts or demons.
I tell them to read the book. I think the book is so compelling. I've had many, many, especially young people, come up to me. Years ago, I did book talks and interviews all over. You know, I'd go to Barnes & Noble and, you know, 30, 40 people would come to hear me. And young people, you know, in their 20s would come up and say, you know what? I grew up, I never went to church. I know nothing about God. My grandparents went to church, but, you know, my parents didn't, I don't. So I know nothing. But your book has changed my perspective on life and what I believe. I think that's why there are now paranormal networks and paranormal movies and paranormal TV shows. So many young people, they don't know anything about God, but they know that something exists beyond the physical body, that there's some spiritual component to life, and they're interested in it. And I think that's why the paranormal has taken off.
Your movie fits right in with the Conjuring people, because the Conjuring movies is really good over evil. It's Ed and Lorraine Warren using good over evil. It's just kind of the message of those movies. So your movie will be perfect for that.
But how is your family now?
It's issues. I mean, I've divorced a few years ago, and we've had issues. And
would you say the genesis of that is this whole process?
With the book and everything we went through, it didn't help.
Yeah,
let's just say it didn't help. And had I had anything to do again, I probably should have moved my children out of the house during the situation. But I saw it at the time as giving ground to this thing, and I wanted to maintain. This was our house. We owned it, and we're not going to move. But it did its damage.
Are you involved directly with the film that's being discussed?
Well, dealing with Hollywood is interesting.
Yeah, Jim, I mean, and I know.
I was going to say, you
have,
two know
I have
about
an agent. I have an agent who sold the book to Penguin, who sold the book to Warner Brothers, to New Line Cinema, and. You know, I signed a contract. We negotiated things into the contract that basically says I get a review of the script. I'll be an advisor. But they haven't called me up. They did ask if I still own the house, so we'll see.
And there's already a screenwriter attached to the script.
Well, they're writing the script right now.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When you wrote the book, was it more of a therapeutic thing, or did you just think this will sell, or... Because it did take off. I couldn't put it down. Like she said, you read it in 2 days. Same thing. I've read it a couple times. I recommend people to get the book, The Demon of Brownsville, on Kindle.
It was somewhat post-traumatic stress when I wrote it. And I kept detailed notes every day for several years, 350 pages of notes. And when a year or so later, I figured if I'm going to write, Tom Murphy said to me, he told me to keep notes, which I'm glad he did. And then at the end, he said, you need to write a book. So when I started to put pen to paper, and I'd never written a book, when I was going through my notes and translating those daily notes into a narrative, I'm glad I did it when I did, because I could still remember how I felt and remember details that I wouldn't be able to remember now. But it was like reading about, you know, some very traumatic event you had been involved in.
So it was therapeutic a little bit.
To an extent, but it kind of messed with me.
Hard to relive it.
Yeah, it was hard. Mm-hmm. It was hard. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We're fascinated to see the film. If you haven't read the book, The Demon of Brownsville Road, Bob Cramner. Really, now I really want to go see this movie down the road. I hope they end up making it because they're going to film it in your house. Maybe we can come down.
I don't know. I hope they do.
I'm sure they will.
I don't know if they will or not.
But we appreciate you sharing the story.
Thanks,
Sheila said, you won't believe this. And
I can believe Sheila's in the house. That's so wild. You're in the house.
It is
house.
A bed and breakfast.
Oh, it's great. People love it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people go out of their way to say now how peaceful the place is.
And
they don't know anything about
peaceful.
They don't know anything about the book. They said, we just feel so good. I said, well, we've had mass in most every room of the house at one time or another.
They come in from all over the country, especially for October.
Yeah, we get travelers literally from all over the country. And I don't promote the book with the B&B. If they happen to know about it, I'll just...
Well, and I hear you serve a great breakfast,
people
too.
Should check it out. The Demon of Brownsville Road, Bob Cramner. We appreciate you sharing the story. Thank you. Episode 6 has been a great one, and we hope that you'll download the free Audacy app, AUDACY. If you haven't, kdkradio.com. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland. We want to thank Bob Bozzelli, Lou Caputo, and Ray Sefcik here at 23rd and Vine on East Carson Street in the South Side. Dick Roberts, our producer. Also want to thank Rick Dolnack, who's a great actor who spends some time with us doing these, and Jim Patulski, who does a tremendous job even when Brandon Max blew his ears out with
There's
a
no demons
with a,
that
with a grilled cheese. Yeah, good luck with that, and we'll catch you again next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.